Chapter 7. O death, where is thy victory? We quote 1 Corinthians 15:35-49. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish man, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and what you sow is not the body which is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is alike, but there is one kind for men, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are celestial bodies and there are terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual which is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Having read this, you will certainly not ask the question presupposed in the letter to the Corinthians, but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? For now you know that it is absolutely impossible to raise a dialectical soul, a dialectical ego and a dialectical personality, imperishably. Every living entity in these realms of the nature of death, every living organism, be it plant, animal, or human being, obeys one and the same law, namely, that the fluid which ensouls it is a certain state of the magnetic forces of dialectics. And not one of these entities, irrespective of the situation in which it might be, can be compared in any respect whatsoever to manifestations in, out of, and by the gnosis. Whatever awakens out of the gnosis can manifest itself only when all that was has first been crucified, has died, has been buried, and can never be made alive again. When Paul says that one day we shall bear the image of the heavenly human being, he doesn't mean that you, as a dialectical ego, will one day enter that state of renewal. No, he means that after the rebirth of the soul, i.e., after the rebirth of the ego, the threefold eye of thinking, willing, and feeling, your personality, your vehicles, will temporarily bear the new soul and the new eye, just as Jesus the Lord did after his resurrection. In that phase, you will have lain aside the image of the physical human being, and you, i.e., your vehicles, will then bear the image of the heavenly man. This is why Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 15:50 by emphasizing that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What is sown is perishable, dishonorable, and weak, but what is raised is the soul truly living in the gnosis. That is the great mystery of salvation. Your dialectical personality can be the basis for the tremendous initial process of transfiguration. The main thing is that the pupil understands this mystery of salvation, that he enters into the process, and that he breaks through to the goal. Lo, says Paul, I tell you a mystery. I will initiate you into a mystery, namely the mystery that we shall not all sleep in the ordinary dialectical sense, but we shall truly be changed. This twofold mystery can apply to you also if you will walk the required paths. Listen to Paul's mystery, which is always topical and hence always new. Whoever starts off on the path, very seriously and with great dedication, is linked to the gnosis as you know, and something of the immortal soul state will immediately manifest itself in him. If the personality of such a brother or sister dies during this process of preparation, they will lay down their physical body in the usual way. Yet there is a mystery connected with such a pupil, for the seed of immortality was already active and had already started making progress. Therefore, this deceased pupil will not be totally dissolved like all the phenomena of ordinary nature, but will continue his process of salvation in that part of the magnetic body of the spiritual school that we call the sanctified soul ether field. Hence, all our dead ones, who die in the Lord in this way, will one day be raised imperishably. You still have your personality, and although it is one of dishonor, weakness, and perishability, you can already partake in the rebirth of the soul in the present with the rightly focused help of the soul, and you can gain all the advantages of this. And so there is a twofold mystery. Whoever commences the path can completely rest assured. Either he will die naturally and awaken later in the soul-liberating field of life, or he will already be resurrected in the new soul state in the present. In both situations, the resurrection is certain and absolute. Therefore, it is a glorious certainty for all that truly walk the path of the mysteries that the real death of absolute termination is vanquished right from the start. And so every serious pupil can joyfully exclaim, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? The sting of living in the nature of death has been removed. O death, where is thy victory? The victory of death has been rescinded. Therefore be steadfast, unwavering, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor, your self-freemasonry, is not and never will be in vain."